Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we just pray for your wisdom this morning, your guidance as we open your word, Father, for clarity of heart and understanding and a willing obedience to do your will, Father. We just pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Wish to extend the greetings to each of you this morning. May the Lord bless you as you pursue Him and follow after the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to start in John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then also I want to read in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1 and verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What I want to talk about this morning, I guess if I had a title, it would be the neutered gospel or the emasculated gospel. Something that cannot reproduce what it's intended to produce, reproduce. Today, we live in a world, and there's a lot of people that are zealously out teaching and preaching about a Christ that is a false Christ. They've taken the power away from the gospel that delivers from sin and that sets men free from sin. They've made the gospel something that coddles man in their sin or pampers man in their sin instead of bringing them to the knowledge of their sin. That's not only happened in the gospel, it's happened in the home. Man is no longer a man anymore. We're all equal. We're just all equal. Everybody's the same. And no one has to do any changing. Or no one has to... We're just all equal. The other evening, we were preaching, and we have a message that tells that women should be meek, quiet, and covered. And people come up to us and say, you are demoralizing women. You're debasing women. One man started yelling at us and saying how we were demoralizing women and how we were bringing them to nothing and making them nothing. We told him, no, we're trying to make them something. We're trying to make them of great value in the sight of God. That's what the Bible talks about, that a woman has a meek and quiet spirit that is beautiful on the inside, that does what is right, no matter what it's going to cost her, is in the sight of God of great value. And the value that you put on women is to put them in a bathing suit and parade them around and sell a bottle of Coke. Or to sell a bottle of beer. Or to sell a tire. Who is debasing women? You've turned them into harlots and whores. Because you have been emasculated by them. You have sold your manhood for what that woman has to offer you. And now you follow her around because you want to gain her pleasure and favor instead of being a man. You've allowed her to take away your manhood. And now you've got to call her your equal, or she'll throw a fit and throw you out on your ear. So what do we do? We just submit ourselves and call her equal and get along just fine. That way everything just works out real smooth. But it's taken the power out of the family. It's taken what God has intended out of the home. That's one of the problems that a powerful church has, is it takes the man out of the position of being the man of the home, out of the responsibility of being the man of the home, and giving that to someone else. To be a man in the home, you have to be responsible for your own decisions and for your home. And when you're following some woman around, you have left your manhood. Well, the same things happen to the gospel. Instead of God being the center of the gospel, man has become the center of the gospel. And in man's mind, God and God is about what he can do for me. And so I'll yield him a little bit of control of my life so that he'll help me out in my life. The gospel is now the focus is not about God and how man has offended God. The gospel has now become how God can help man. And it's centered around man. For several years, maybe 10 years ago, the most quoted verse in the Bible was, "For God so loved the world." The whole world picked that verse as their theme about God, their mantra. And the church was leading the way, the worldly church. And I think it is probably one of the seeds of the really got established in the church during the hippie movement, where their idea and their thoughts were, if it feels good, do it. And as that selfish movement began to expand, it expanded into, well, let's include Jesus in this. So that in the 70s, the church, in order to reach all these selfish people, started giving the message out that God loves you. That God loves you. Smile, God loves you. I remember when that came out. So that everyone began to understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. And they've taken those words of those verses and just manipulated them into where God is just pure love. And all He wants, His only purpose, is for you to be saved. And that is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. That's the neutered gospel that caters to man. God sent His Son into this world so that you could return to God and His way. People came up with the idea that from the front to the back, the only message this book had was how much God loved you. There's not one shred of evidence to back that claim. From the front to the back, God sent men of God, sent preachers to reclaim His own, to call His own back to Himself, to get man back in line with God, to call man to repent, to turn from his way back to God's ways. That's God's message. It's from the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation. Man sends his prophets and his servants. Whenever you look at the servants and the prophets in the Old Testament, what was their message to Israel because they departed? Oh, I love you. I love you. And I wish you wouldn't do this. I love you. And I want to forgive you. No. His message was, repent and turn from your wicked ways. His message was, change your ways. Love. Love has been so perverted. Love is something people fall into, they say. But that is not what love is. Love is something you choose to do. It's choosing to do what's right. It's choosing to follow the Lord. It's choosing to obey Him. It's not about you. It's not about what you've been through. It's about you choosing to rise above all of that and get right with God. It's God offering you the opportunity. This is how much He loved the world. He gave His Son so you could have the opportunity to get right with Him. And to stay right with Him. That's why He loved the world. That's why He gave His Son. So that you could get right with Him. So that you would straighten up your life. This love that's come along, and it's taken the gospel, the sharp edge of the gospel, and dulled it. It's taken the gospel and taken the manhood out of it. It's taken the gospel and emasculated it. It's taken the gospel and altered it. Ten years ago, the verse was John 3:16. Today, it's judge not. You take the judgment out of the gospel, and it's just like castrating a bull. You don't have seed anymore to reproduce the truth. This Antichrist movement has overtaken the gospel. And has taken any validity out of the gospel. And has taken the power from the gospel so that it has no power to produce what it's supposed to produce anymore. And it has pervaded, it has permeated, or it has gotten to every group that I know of. Friday night, well, I guess it was last night, had three pretty good talks. Friday night, it was pretty chaotic. And there was a man that came up even, and he had a little washable sign, and he'd write messages about us or something, just trying to draw attention to himself, but just trying to mock. And then after a while, he just said, change my sign, $1. You can put whatever message you want on there for $1. So people would come up and they'd put a message on there and point it towards us or whatever. And he'd hold that for a while. And somebody else would come up and pay him, and he'd write a new message, they'd write a new message, and he'd hold that for a little while. Well, he watched, mocked, scoffed, just right along with everyone else. He stood right there beside us. Well, last night, we drove up, and he was sitting on his motorcycle waiting there for us to get there. As soon as we got there, he came and brought his backpack out, unfolded it, brought his big sign out, and stood there, and he had a little message on it. And three different people came up, three different religions, and they all came up just like they always do. And they come up and they start flattering. And they start saying, "You know, I really appreciate what you're doing. And what you're saying is right. I just agree. I just want to understand where you're coming from. Tell me what it's all about." And so we began to try to explain to them. And they might agree with us and for a long time. But then they'll come around and then they'll say, "Well, I do agree with you, but don't you think there's a better way to do this?" And it just shifts gears right then. And from then on, it's an attack. "You're doing it wrong. You're driving people away. You're offending people with this message. And it just hurts me that you would stand out there and just say this." And it doesn't matter how you reason with them, how you talk. All they want you to do is neuter the message. Castrate it. Take the cross out of it. Let's turn it about love. Why don't you have love on your side? Why don't you tell people that God loves you? And the second man last night that came up and told me this, I said, "You know what?" I said, "Last night, there was some atheists here. And do you know what their message was to me last night? Their message was they didn't like the way we were presenting the sign." I said, "You're just like everyone else. You have the same message as everyone. One night it'll be a Mormon. The next night it'll be a Baptist. The next night it'll be a queer. The next night it'll be a Pentecostal. The next night it'll be an agnostic. Every religion, the next night it'll be a Wiccan or a Satanist. Every group that you can imagine has come up to us with the very same message that you have. Tried to turn it into all about God's love. And you're just like them. There is no difference between you and them." Well, that man left. 5 minutes later, there was another one. Came up and he said, "I just want to understand what you're doing. I just would like to get a little better understanding." He said, I really appreciate what you're doing. And he went through the whole thing again. And then he came after about 30 minutes, and then he said, you know, the only thing I would change is that maybe you should just put a little more love into this. And this man that was standing there mocking the whole time, standing right beside me for 2 nights, he started in telling me this, his message, and he just had to have me hear his message. And I said, you're just like everyone else. You're just like the Baptist. You're just like the Pentecostal. You're just like the queers. You're just like the atheist. You're just like the feminist. You're just like everyone else that comes up. You have the exact same message. Oh, no, I don't have. Mine's different. And I looked over at this man here and I said, does he have a different message? Or is this the same thing that everyone else comes up complaining about? And he just looked at me and he said, same old message. That's the message of the Antichrist. An emasculated gospel. It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't offend anyone. It doesn't have a dirty old cross in it that kills people. And that's why no one is risen to newness of life. Because there's no death in it. The purpose of the Word of God is to bring a sword. And that sword will slay you when you yield to it. And it'll hurt. But until you die, you will not live. Until you get past you, Christ cannot live in you. Until you get past you, Christ cannot live in you. The very first message that he gave to those that would begin to follow him is deny yourself. I've been hurt. You don't know what I've been through. Deny yourself. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about God. And when it comes about you, there's no power in it. There's no change in it. It's gone. It's emasculated. The power to reproduce the life of Christ is gone. It's not about you. I'm hurting. It's not about you. You've offended a holy God. Someone's hurt me. There's a remedy for that. It's not a psychologist. It's forgiveness. You want set free from something? You set someone else free. You'll be set free. It's the only way. The other is just a fake cover-up. You want delivered? Set someone else free. There's where your power is. Die to yourself. Die to what you want. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. If you want religion, if you want to be loved, you want all those things that's still about you? The irony is that you give up all of those things, and lo and behold, you'll find them. It's what people cannot get through their heads. Oh, you just want us to be unhappy and you want us to be miserable. You're just barking up the wrong tree. You can't understand it. The gospel is foolishness. The preaching and the power of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. Spirit comes. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Paul understood this in Acts. He was preaching to a king. Acts 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Paul preached the faith in Christ. How did he do it? He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The book of Acts is the actions of the apostles. The actions of the apostles. The book of Acts tells of all the things that the apostles did in their preaching and everywhere they went and how they preached and who they talked to. Not one time in the book of Acts is the word love mentioned. Not one time. What's wrong with today's gospel? Whenever you tell someone God loves you, that's supposed to comfort them. That's supposed to make them feel better. That's supposed to encourage them. Do you know who it makes feel better? Me. Doesn't bring anybody to God. It just feeds self. The one thing Jesus said that we had to deny before we could even begin to follow Him. Deny yourself. Not feed it. This world's message is love. This world's message is all about how God loves me. That is the message of the Antichrist. You mark that down, write it in your calendar, write it wherever you put it on your refrigerator. If it's about me, it's the message of the Antichrist. When it shifts from God to me, it's the message of the Antichrist. And I don't care how decorated it up or how much right they may say or how many drums they can put with it or smooth sounding guitars and make it sound like a little love song. It's all phony. It might have some truth in it. It might have some good message in it. But all it takes is just a drop of poison in it to kill you. And the closer it is to the truth, that they can put a drop of poison in it to kill you, the better it works. You want rid of your problems? Get your mind on God. And glorifying Him. Get your mind on your neighbor. There's an old man here that I've visited for several years, and he gets pretty depressed sometime. Says he gets lonely. I said, you want a cure for your loneliness? Go visit someone that's really lonely. Get your mind off of yourself. You've got a problem? You want to complain? You want to gripe about what's going wrong and how hard it is? Get your mind off of that and go find somebody that's got it hard. Go find somebody that has some things in their life that are troubling. You know, it's amazing. Some of the people that I've found that have the most to complain about are sometimes the most happiest people that I know. There's a man in Butterfield that hasn't had anything to eat for 2 years. He's got a little hole right here in his stomach, and he pours a can of food in. You know what he does at Thanksgiving? He invites his friends over and cooks a big turkey dinner for them with roast beef, mashed potatoes, the whole thing, and sits there and watches them eat it while he pours a can of goop down his belly. He's one of the happiest men I know. And he doesn't claim to be a Christian. He's going to rise up in judgment against a bunch of Christians. Strong. Beware of the selfish gospel that's being preached, and it is everywhere. There's just a little beacon of light left in this world. We're coming down to the end, coming to the close, and the devil has set it up so that he's emasculated the gospel. Has no power. It's been taken over. It's become the Antichrist. And people are swallowing it right and left. And they're trying to get you to drink of the same poison. The gospel that gives you joy, that gives you peace. Say there ain't no joy and peace? No, I did not say that. But if that's what you're seeking, you can't find real joy and you can't find real peace. You lose your life to find it. You lose your joy and you'll find it. You lose your peace and you'll find it. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy. We just ask that You would help us be faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen.